Welcome to New Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on cybersecurity and the local Colorado economy, focused on cybersecurity industry growth and initiatives that support cybersecurity economics. We hope this special series on blockchain builds your excitement for a possible future which empowers individual privacy. Please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check out privacyforthepeople.org to see the upcoming crowdfunding campaign. Now sit back and enjoy as we introduce our great guest for today's show.
Welcome to New Cyber Frontier. This is Dr. Wanda Tisby-Huzar, and I am here with a special guest. And our special guest today is Samuel. He's with the company Amnet, and he has been with this company for 1 year. However, he has a lot to share to inform our listening audience. Samuel, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Very excited to have you. Can you share with us, from your perspective, what is the greatest problem or challenge you see in the cybersecurity industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So, full name, Samuel Thomas Elliott. What I do professionally is I'm a business technology advisor with Amnet, as you said. We are an IT and cybersecurity managed service company. So, it is my job as a business technology advisor really to be on the sales side of things, but what we've learned is it's a lot more sitting down with executives and the decision makers to understand how much they understand about their IT and to see what they're struggling with. And oftentimes when I'm sitting down with a lot of these leaders, they don't always know what they're struggling with. So it makes it a very interesting conversation for me.
Mm-hmm. So you are positioned to help them uncover what their needs are, basically.
Yep. It's a lot of uncovering where are the systems at currently, how are they utilizing their systems, maybe what's the opportunity cost of a problem that continues to come up in their software or in their internet connectivity or even access to email, and trying to quantify that so they understand how it's affecting their business, and being able to put it in terms of this is how solving this issue could really enable your business to improve your bottom line and then better serve your customers.
When we speak of compliance, do you encounter any inhibitions from these executives?
Compliance has been an interesting topic that I've dove into at great lengths. I'm kind of a legal nerd. I would have gone to law school if it didn't cost the amount of money it does and the amount of time it did. But I first had dove in with a prospect that was in the healthcare space, and I was surprised to see that they didn't have much of an understanding of what HIPAA compliance was. They knew it from a basic standpoint of we shouldn't be sharing personal health information, that PHI data, but they looked at that more of, you know, locking files away in a cabinet, not from a making sure that if they're sending this PHI data over email, that it's actually being encrypted, let alone them ensuring that they're doing network audits and they're ensuring that they're monitoring their logs and no one has access into their network, therefore access into this data.
Wow, that's interesting. Tell me about the communication between the IT department and executives.
So this is another really interesting thing that I run into when I'm meeting with different decision makers and companies of in the 20 to 200 space, so often I'm coming in across really, you know, passionate IT directors that are almost being used and abused by their organization. When you're in that kind of employee space, oftentimes, you know, from 20 to 100, there's just one person managing all of IT. And they might have someone helping them with help desk. But I mean, in some of their words, and the one specific individual that really works his butt off for the organization, he just flat out told me, he goes, hey, my organization does not provide me the resources to really ever be proactive with our IT. I am constantly running from fire to fire, and it's not even possible for me to put it out because I don't have the tools, the resources, the budget. But what I am able to do is douse it with some water until another fire acts up, and then I have to run over there. So when it comes to the communication between the executives and the those involved in IT, I really like to come in and be able to help and explain to the executives, this is what it's causing, kind of like what I was talking about earlier.
And I want you to hold that thought, and we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors.
Sounds
Don't go
good.
Away.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Okay, so we are back again with our expert here, Mr. Samuel Elliott with AdNet, and we're going to continue our conversation on basically my perception is the burnout of IT professionals.
Yeah, there's a lot of burnout. I was kind of telling the story of an individual, and it happened to be a finance organization, so there was a lot of compliance in what they did. And this individual was always so stressed about just passing the audits. And they were passing their audits, but their internal system and their employees' satisfaction with their technology was quite poor. Because, you know, the most compliant, you know, computer and network is one that's not connected to anything and no one touches. Because ideally nothing can happen to that then. Mm-hmm. But that's not how companies do business. We're leveraging technology. So this same individual had even told me, Samuel, when you look at our network and you really dive into our technology, it's going to be like you just jumped in a time machine and went back to 2006, and that is where our technology is at. And I feel for a lot of these IT directors out there that they might not have the social skills or financial or business skills to explain why they need an increase in budget, to explain why they need to hire an additional staff person, and show their decision makers, their executives, how spending more money on IT is going to enable the organization to work more effectively, to be more efficient, and overall increase their bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Samuel, I'm going to ask you, based on your prior comments and in my studies, the IT professional was frequently referred to as the prima donna because what they were perceived to be is an industry that requires excessive budget, okay, and it's not justifiable, just as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Do you have any ideas for how an IT professional can overcome that barrier?
I mean, an IT director, they're a director. They're a manager. Just because they're in technology doesn't necessarily make them better than anyone else in the organization. Mm-hmm. And when you're in that manager or director, even if you're just owning something that is yours, you need to be able to communicate that with other people within the organization. And I've met with a lot of IT directors that the last thing they want is some guy in a tie walking in and asking them questions about their IT because they think, well, what do you know? Or they come from the standpoint of, well, I'm not on top of everything in a proactive sense. I'm being very reactive. Last thing I want to say to someone is that I'm not doing as good of a job as what I want. Mm-hmm. And then they have some job security issues. It's a fascinating time right now as more businesses are using and leveraging technology. Mm-hmm. how the relationship within a company in order to manage that technology mm-hmm. is going.
Mm-hmm. Would you consider your company being in a role of training and education where it comes to this lack of communication skills for IT?
So
directors?
We don't necessarily train specifically our clients who have their own internal IT department because mm-hmm. our model as a managed service provider, we do unlimited IT support, mm-hmm. which is unlimited help desk, the managed network, backups, really anything in between.
Okay.
And when we are working with an organization that already has an IT department, such as one of our clients that's about 450 employees, mm-hmm. they're really leveraging our team's expertise and our team's tools mm-hmm. so that we can manage certain aspects of their IT responsibilities. So we don't directly train their staff, we train our staff, and that's one thing that really makes us different from a lot of the other managed service providers out there, is continued education is an absolute requirement and something that our organization pays for, because if we can get the job done more efficiently and faster by using more up-to-date and modern tools, mm-hmm. that helps our company's bottom line, and our clients love it because they find solutions faster and they're not always waiting around on us.
So you're kind of filling a gap for mm-hmm. those organizations with 450 employees. Can you elaborate a little bit more on specifically what your focus is with your organizations that have 20 to 200 employees, as you had shared with me earlier?
Yeah. Oftentimes in that space, they're slow to adapt technologies. They might not be mm-hmm. slow to adapt, you know, iPads out in the field. Mm-hmm. And some of the newer software, but they're slower to adapt, you know, a properly managed IT department with a ticketing system. Mm. I come across a lot of organizations that don't even have a ticketing system, and I'll ask their, you know, one IT staff member, how do people let you know that they're having an issue or that they're locked out of their email or that they got a funny pop-up message on their computer? And they go, well, they text me, they sometimes email me. You know, there's some people that they just put a sticky note on my desk.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're able to come in and kind of help them understand best practices, mm-hmm. understand where they're at, understand where they want to be, mm-hmm. and then what steps to take in order to get there. And always considering budget. Mm-hmm. Budget is always a very important topic in the 20 to 200 space. Because oftentimes executives look at the IT department as a cost center. And mm-hmm. I like to, you know, come in with the challenge and figure out what the executives care about and make sure that they see the IT department as an enablement center, not mm-hmm. cost center.
I like that, what you said there, an enablement center.
Absolutely.
Tell me, I am just surprised that these organizations with 20 to 200 employees don't have a ticketing system. I've had the benefit of never working for an organization like that.
Yeah.
My business challenge in management has been getting the staff to utilize the ticketing system.
Absolutely.
Do you have any ideas for a person who is leading employees to get them to start using that ticketing system? Because I definitely see the value of that.
Yeah. I said we don't train really the IT department specifically, mm-hmm. but we definitely provide training to the employees.
Okay.
Because, you know, employees is the biggest weakness within any organization. Mm-hmm. You can have a house with the best security system and locks on every window and door, but if an employee just unlocks it and opens it up, that where breaches really happen. So we like to train the employees, and we often like to train the employees of, if you are having an issue, even though it looks minor, mm-hmm. it might be the symptom of something bigger going on, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that you're filling out a ticket, that you're reporting that. Same thing with our cybersecurity awareness trainings.
Okay.
We absolutely love educating our community, whether they are our clients or not, on what a non-technical person needs to be aware of when it comes to cybersecurity mm-hmm. so that they can, you know, help from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. And then we have our executive training so that they can help from the top down to ensure that organizations aren't in the news, mm-hmm. aren't losing their reputation, aren't falling victim to ransomware. because that doesn't help our clients, that doesn't help our economy, and it doesn't help, you know, the clients of those businesses.
It sounds to me like you're really conscientious about serving employees, but at the same time saving face of those. And, you know, often we don't consider that to be a customer service area, but it's particularly important in maintaining those relationships in business. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
I mean, the Target breach is a good example of Target's clients' data, customer data, was accessed because their HVAC partner, their network was compromised. And then that HVAC company had access to Target's network that then was connected to some of that sensitive data internally. And I mean, that hurt Target. And there's many studies that out there that show consumers don't want to work with a company after a breach, and that consumers are being more conscientious. But as a whole, that HVAC company, what do you think the next time a company like Target is going to say when they're trying to sell them their services? What are you doing now that's going to make sure that a breach isn't going to happen again?
Okay. Well, we're really excited about what you're offering, what we're discussing here, and we're going to have another break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
So, going over what was covered here, some highlights, and feel free to jump in to add to whatever I am sharing with our listening audience. You said finance organizations have a lot of compliance. However, they're very dissatisfied with their technology.
They can be. This one in particular that I'm thinking about that really stood out to me, because the individual handler IT was an incredible person that was working long, long hours. And we see this a lot in the 20 to 200 full-time employee space of it's a single point of failure when there's only one person managing IT. Mm. So he had told me stories of driving between the two locations that they have and having to turn around. Another story of him needing to go on vacation and trying to head to the airport, but suddenly a server went down. Amnet is around to help those people out. Mm-hmm. It's just really fascinating that we use technology in our everyday, but a lot of times organizations don't realize just how much it helps them run and be a successful organization. Therefore, it's sometimes hard for them to really want to invest in it, even if they do have regulatory compliance. Mm-hmm. Since, well, we've always passed the audit or we've never been breached, that doesn't mean that it's always going to go that way. And we really try and help individuals of that mindset understand, you know, it's better to invest now and get stable, secure, and backed up than to do it when it's too late.
And we were discussing economies of scale and that challenge that smaller organizations have. And I was just wondering if there are any ideas for co-oping services so IT directors can better manage the IT services, or some ways that organizations can get to a level of 450 employees.
Yeah, and be able to properly manage it.
Mm-hmm.
So a big thing is, I mean, what is the right size for an organization to hire their first full-time IT staff member?
Mm-hmm.
Amnet has been around for 20 years. We are the most awarded IT service provider in the Pikes Peak region, and it's because we started with a lot of the smaller companies, and as they grew, we grew. We have a large construction company in town that they're at 250 employees, and they've never had to hire internal staff because our team has been able to grow with them. There's other organizations that, as they grew, they had some specific requirements where it made sense to have some of the services in-house. But when it comes to economies of scale, our company, all that we focus on is being the best possible IT partner and IT department for all of our clients.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a model that has been iterated on year after year after year for 20 years with a highly intensive kind of feedback loop mm-hmm. to ensure that we're providing the services that people want.
Wow.
So with that and with that kind of scale, it oftentimes makes it so that we can provide IT services more affordably at a higher quality than hiring internally.
Okay.
So right now with the IT market, especially the cybersecurity market going above and beyond IT, talent is short. Good talent is hard to come by, mm-hmm. especially, you know, here in the Pikes Peak region that mm-hmm. focuses so much on DOD and you have individuals that need to have clearance. It makes it a lot of private organizations say, we just lost our IT director because there was a company
wow.
offering to help pay for his clearance and he's going to make a 20% increase in salary.
Mm-hmm.
So it leaves some of the private companies that are still just trying to get up to modern times mm-hmm. in a tough spot because they can't even hire the right people.
Wow, that's really interesting. I reflect back on this conversation, being an executive director myself of one of those smaller organizations, and not even having an IT director because
mm-hmm.
we were, you know, very small. But I guess the point I'm trying to make here, I'm kind of wondering, is there a lack of leadership or training of leaders to find revenue streams to properly fund budgets to get the proper IT help?
Yeah. And understanding cost savings by leveraging technology. I mean, an exercise I do often is, all right, you're a 50-person organization. What's the average salary across the organization? Let's divide that by number of hours per year. Therefore, you get your average hourly employee pay. Whenever they are sitting behind their computer because updates are happening in the middle of the day, how much is that costing your organization?
Mm.
And then how much, what is your employee effective rate on average of people bringing in new revenue? If you can increase employee efficiency by, you know, even just 20%, that should be increasing your revenues by 20%. So we can have a conversation with the CFO who cares only about numbers. We can have a conversation with the CEO who understands that most CEOs are out of a job after a cyber attack.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can be having the conversation with the CTO that just says, we need effective leadership and understanding where we're at today and where we need to go so that we can leverage technology and increase our bottom line.
So tell me why we need a business cultural shift in regards to cybersecurity.
It's everything we've been talking about. Cybersecurity and IT is modern day business. It is just where we are at. And since it is new, and we think about what we had the dot-com boom where every company wanted to be doing something on the internet, 1999, 2000s. Back then, small companies didn't utilize technology.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's hard to find a company that isn't utilizing technology.
Mm-hmm.
So companies have finally started to use more modern day hardware mm-hmm. and, you know, great SaaS companies have made it really easy for even the smallest of businesses to leverage software to be more efficient. But the mindset around, well, since we're being more efficient through this software and through the technology we use, the mindset hasn't gotten to a point of, well, we need to also be ensuring that we are supporting all these systems that mm-hmm. we're using.
Mm-hmm.
So really on the IT side.
Mm-hmm.
I look at cybersecurity as really the next step. And to simplify cybersecurity, because I don't think enough people understand truly what cybersecurity is.
Mm-hmm.
Cybersecurity is reducing risk, as simply put as possible. Reducing risk of some sort of a malicious act mm-hmm. or damage to internet-connected systems. Mm-hmm. Almost every organization has internet-connected systems, so every organization should be focused on some level of cybersecurity. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for them to, one, admit that piece, and then two, use the resources or allocate the resources to understand where are they at currently, where are their risks, even do a basic SWOT analysis, mm-hmm. and understand what's critical to fix right now, what should be on the roadmap to fix in the future, and then where's that ideal place where we want to be? No one has unlimited budgets. Mm-hmm. Executives, any leader needs to operate within a budget. Mm-hmm. But they need to understand where their weaknesses are and then the roadmap to improve them.
Wow, I totally agree. Tell me, what employment experiences have shaped your business's core values?
What employee experiences? Employment?
Mm-hmm. Your employment experiences, even prior to coming to your organization.
Amnet is kind of a dream company to be a part of, and mm-hmm. That sounds cliche, mm-hmm. but we focus heavily on company culture, because oftentimes, you know, when you work with an IT department, and this is coming from the business standpoint, I do understand my audience here, the IT professionals tend to not be bubbly. They tend to, you have an issue, I'm going to fix your issue. All right, do you need anything else from me? No? All right, I'm going to go to the next issue, I'm going to fix the issue, and then move on to the next task. We believe that if our clients are happy, or excuse me, if our employees are happy, our clients will be happy. Mm-hmm. And we make sure to have fun with our work. Our office is decorated in all superhero themes.
Wow.
We have big fat heads all over the place. Because we're in our office a lot, and our techs and our engineers, even though they're going out to client sites, our service desk, they're in the office from 8 to 5 minimum, and then on call beyond that. So we want to make sure that they're having fun. Their area of the office is called the Bat Cave. We got everything being superhero themed, and we just have fun with it. But it's nice to, me as a person that's going out there, and I'm trying to see, one, what are some of these businesses' struggles? And then two, is Amnet a good company to help them overcome these struggles? Mm-hmm. Feels really good for me that when I make a promise of saying, yes, we can help you, mm-hmm. not only do I believe and know that for a fact, but I probably also have a story of one of our former clients that was in a similar situation, and we helped
wow.
them overcome that situation and get to a point where they go, yes, our IT rocks, we are stable, secure, and backed up, we know Amnet, they're our IT partner, and we feel good about it. And Amnet, we're not the only ones who do what we do. I encourage more businesses, if they're struggling, if they can't hire internally, or if it's an IT department that has some skill gaps, can't hire a network engineer, can't hire for someone for cybersecurity, they look at partnering with an outside organization, that is all that they do. Don't be worried about losing your job. A lot of people get worried of, oh, we're going to let an outside company do part mm-hmm. of the IT. Have that conversation and see what they're going to be responsible for and execute on. And we're good people.
Okay.
We like to help.
You spoke on fear of partnering. Mm-hmm. So how can someone looking to partner or collaborate contact you?
Yeah, I'm very active on LinkedIn. If you want to stay up to date on cybersecurity news, that's how I was found in this podcast. I'm constantly collecting up-to-date news, and sometimes it's more on the technical side when there is a vulnerability out there that, you know, IT directors need to be aware of, all the way to trying to translate something to, you know, their executives that might be holding the purse strings. So I do a balance of diving in a little bit more technical and beyond that. You can find me, Samuel Thomas Elliott. That's why I use my full name. And anyone can shoot me an email at samuel@amnet.net.
Excellent. Well, Samuel Thomas Elliott.
Why, thank you.
We certainly appreciate your coming in today and spending time and taking time out of your very busy schedule, not only to educate our listening audience, but boy, have I been enlightened by much of what you've shared.
I'm here to help people and provide value. Even if they don't work for my company or end up working with my company, I'm happy to spend an hour and see if I can connect some dots and point them in the right direction.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember, please follow and participate as New Cyber Frontier is supporting a grassroots community effort to empower the individual in the digital age. Check it out at privacyforthepeople.org. Also, make sure to join our mailing list so we can keep you informed. If you have an idea, if you have a question you would like to hear answered, or if you just want to get involved in what we're doing, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links because they are the ones that really make this show possible. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.